It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Friday, the 9th of February, 2024. This is for professional investors only and never ever investment advice. I'm just going to follow up on the last episode. I did end up going down a rabbit hole on the story about the M11 junction at Loughton in Essex. And the story was that it was designed as a one-way system to prevent bank robbers doing over a Bank of England lorry carrying cash from the printing works and then heading off east, northeast into Epping Forest where they could hide out. So the junction is designed to force them into London where there are more coppers. Who knew that there were forums dedicated to motorways and motorway junctions? There are. And unfortunately, sadly, this is an urban myth about the design of that junction, according to people who know on these forums. There's a bloke, well, I assume it's a bloke, on there who is dedicated to removing, wait for it, urban myths about motorways from Wikipedia. That's his mission. Another one he's recently and sadly culled from Wikipedia is the one about Northern Ireland's M1 motorway. The legend is that it's so straight, it's a very straight motorway apparently, and the reason for that is to allow nuclear bombers to take off and land on it in the event of the balloon going up. Now, Mr. Killjoy on the forum ruins this myth by pointing out that there are dozens of closely packed bridges going over the motorway, which would make those takeoff and landings pretty difficult to pull off. But sorry to ruin that for you. It's like being told there's no Father Christmas. Right, back to a bloody week in bond world, and not just for those institutions reporting losses and impairments as a result of real estate difficulties. The latest being Pfandbrief Bank, a German bank hit by what it calls, quote, persistent weakness of the real estate markets. So that's the latest one to get into difficulties, see its bond spreads widen, etc. Meanwhile, we talked a while ago about New York Community Bancorp, a US bank that's got into real estate difficulty. That's been downgraded to junk last week. But it's government bond markets where the real misery has been this week. Risk assets in general actually are holding up fine. As you saw yesterday, the S&P 500 briefly went above 5,000 on Thursday. So from the end of 2023, 10-year bunds, German government bonds, are up now from 1.9% to 2.4%. Gilts up from 3.5% to 4.1%. And US Treasuries up from 3.85 to 4.15. So some significant pain being taken in government bonds, unwinding around about half of the big moves down in yield that we saw post the October rally, the year-end rally that we saw there. And obviously rate cut probabilities have been pushed out, and March now looking unlikely, as we get nearer to March, of course. Those rate cut probabilities moved out to the early summer. There was also a shock forecast change in the other direction in New Zealand last night. So not just pushing back expectations for rate cuts, but ANZ Bank is now calling for two more rate hikes from the RBNZ. This sent the Kiwi dollar flying upwards, so they think the RBNZ are going to hike a couple more times to 6% by the end of the year, bucking the kind of general expectation that interest rates have peaked and are on their way down. So US data has remained pretty strong, and especially, of course, in the employment sphere with another good jobless claims number. We had today the release of the US CPI revisions. This was really a change to seasonal adjustments around the US inflation data, and some people thought that it might cause the Fed to change its view of the US economy, for it wasn't going to change the year-on-year number, but it might have shown that weakness was backloaded, i.e. a stronger deceleration in inflation that markets had expected, and that might change the Fed's expectation of how quickly things are slowing down. But it was a bit of a damp squib. There were some upward changes goods prices, some downward changes to service sector inflation number, but the 3-month annualized core inflation rate for the US in Q4 was unchanged at 3.3. So nothing really to change the Fed's view. Meanwhile, over in Japan, yen balls once more frustrated, this time by Governor Kazuo Ueda, suggesting that even if rates do move away from their negative stance at the moment, financial conditions are going to remain accommodative for the foreseeable future. And this added to similar concerns that moved markets the day before on Thursday, implying that a rate hike won't be the start of a hiking cycle, i.e. the idea is that they move from very slightly negative to zero. So the yen is heading up above 149 to the dollar for the first time since November, and at one point by the end of 2023 it got down to 141. So a reasonably bearish move for the yen after a bearish year for the yen in 2023. Remember, it was off about 7% against the US dollar. It did rally hard along with bonds at the end of the year, so it looks to be fairly correlated with US interest rate expectations. So as those rate expectations were thought to be wide in the US, then that helps the dollar, hurts the yen. When it looked like US 2 years and short rates were coming down and converging with the yen rates, and it looked like yen rates might be going up as well, that convergence supported the yen. But as those two things have been dashed on both sides of the equation, that's obviously quite hurtful. Finally, happy Year of the Dragon, happy Chinese New Year. Chinese deflation, though, has accelerated. So we had some Chinese inflation numbers out. The year-on-year deflation now is at 0.8%. So prices fell by 0.8% year-on-year. That's the fastest decline we've seen for really about 15 years or so. That is being led by food prices in particular and pork prices in particular. So they're down 17%. So this does probably mean we're just capturing a lot of base effects from a year ago in food prices, which are probably COVID-related, unlocking of economy-related, all of those things. But it's also thought to be timing related as well. Right, the Chinese New Year is a movable feast based around the lunar cycle, and therefore it might be a slight timing difference that's causing prices to look lower than they actually are. But it does continue to put pressure on the government to do something. People have talked about the losses in Chinese equity markets, real estate and so forth as being akin to the global financial crisis that the West experienced in 2008-09. Is that deflation part of that story as well, and probably at least linked to it? And that is increasing speculation that the Chinese government is going to have to launch some sort of super stimulus, both fiscally and in the monetary stance. Actually, Chinese real interest rates are now way higher than those in the rest of the major economies around the world. If you think about it, those deflation that we're seeing now, add that on to the Chinese bond yield compared to taking off 3.3 or whatever it might be from the US the US yield to create the real yield, and you end up with quite a big gap now between real yields in Europe and the US and those in China. And it looks like the monetary policy stance in real yield space is really quite tight in China, which probably isn't appropriate given the weakness in the economy. Right, that's it from me. Off to research some more motorway facts and figures for you for next week. Bye.